From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm Kevin Ekstrom, the editor-in-chief at Religion News Service, and I'm filling in this week for your regular host, Welton Gaddy. With the Islamic observance of Ramadan continuing through July 28th, President Obama hosted the annual White House Iftar dinner this past Monday. And coming up on the 23rd, Muslims will mark Laylat al-Qadr, the Night of Destiny, and Mormons celebrate Pioneer Day on July 24th. Now here's what's coming up on this week's show.
The grounds for the case are under the Constitution, First Amendment, the Establishment Clause, privileging religion over non-religion because religious clergy can solemnize marriages and our secular celebrants cannot.
In recent months, it may seem that a conservative Christian agenda has been marching unchallenged through our courts and legislatures. Inevitably, among those most affected are people who hold humanist and atheist views. Well, this week has offered up some small but hopeful signs of change. The first humanist invocation was heard in the town of Greece, New York, in a public meeting, and an appeals court ruled that Indiana was violating the First Amendment religious freedom rights of humanists. That's right. In a case involving who is allowed to perform wedding ceremonies, a court recognized the religious liberty of non-believers, something that makes perfect sense in theory, but it's often not the case in practice. And on this week's show, I'll talk with Reba Boyd Wooden, one of only a handful of certified secular celebrants in the country.
The NYPD secretly labeled mosques as terrorist organizations. This gave them legal grounds to use informants and undercover officers to spy on activities inside the places of worship.
It's ironic that even as some courts find new and unprecedented rights to religious liberty in the world of commerce, others seem less concerned with religious violations in actual houses of worship. But that's how one could interpret the recent dismissal of a lawsuit brought against the New York City Police Department for its profiling and surveillance of Muslims in New York and New Jersey. Now an appeal has been filed with a large and diverse set of organizations joining legal briefs, among them Interfaith Alliance. And later in the show, I'll be joined by Glenn Caton, legal director at Muslim Advocates.
It is a bill decades in the making, and now it's losing support from the very people it's designed to protect.
In the aftermath of the Supreme Court's landmark ruling in the Hobby Lobby case last month, there have already been signs that the worst-case predictions of some critics are coming true. For some, it's simply too easy to justify various forms of discrimination using the language of, quote, religious liberty or, quote, deeply held religious beliefs. So as the landscape for what might now be included as a religious exemption shifts drastically, it shouldn't be a surprise that some advocates are rethinking the degree to which such exemptions might be used to justify outright discrimination. It's especially true when we're dealing with legislation that is specifically designed to prevent discrimination. And so while it may have been surprising, it might not have been shocking when a number of leading LGBT and civil rights groups went on the record earlier this month and pulled their long-standing support for ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, as it's been passed by the Senate. It's because of concerns about too broad a religious exemption loophole. The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force was the first to pull its support, and we'll hear from the organization's Director of Public Policy and Government Affairs, Stacey Long Simmons. But first, due to the improbability of ENDA's passage by a Republican-controlled House, exemption or no exemption, the Obama administration recently announced a coming executive order requiring ENDA-like protections for LGBT workers employed by federal contractors. Now, out of concern for the possibility of a too broad religious exemption in that order, a number of rights groups have expressed concerns. A letter signed by prominent leaders, including Interfaith Alliance President Welton Gaddy, went to the White House earlier this month, and this week, 60 religious and civil rights groups signed on to a similar message to the president. Interfaith Alliance was among the signatories, and so was the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism. Joining me now is Rabbi David Saperstein. He's the director of the RAC and a longtime board member of Interfaith Alliance Foundation. David, welcome back to State of Belief.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So, Religious Action Center has joined many others, including Interfaith Alliance, in writing to the president regarding the religious exemptions in the anticipated executive order on federal contractors. Tell me about your concerns.
It should be a matter of core principle about the United States that tax dollars should not be used to discriminate. There's something deeply troubling about the notion that someone pays their tax dollars The government. The government then partners with a private organization, religious organization, and that religious organization would be able to discriminate against the very person whose money was paid into it. So this is a core principle for many of us. It was one that the president affirmed in his Zanesville speech while he was running for the presidency. And it would be our hope that there would be no religious exemption as far as an executive order would be concerned, protecting protected classes, including the LGBT community. I should point out that there is an existing exemption that has been on the books since President Bush that does exempt religious organizations and allows them to discriminate on the basis of religion in who they hire with government money. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear that the administration would reverse that. It's probably more likely they would leave that intact and in passing an executive order. But we have asked them to rescind that, as we asked the Bush administration before this administration to rescind that executive order allowing discrimination.
And as I understand it, that the Bush-era policy that you're talking about dealt with the faith-based office and faith-based groups that contract with the government. So is that really much different from the executive order on LGBT and federal contractors, or is it just
what would likely happen? No one knows, because we have no one seeing publicly the executive order. What would likely happen is they would add LGBT to an existing executive order that actually was passed by President Roosevelt that bars discrimination on the basis of race, age, gender, a national origin, in federal contracting, a range of protected classes. We now add LGBT to that. Since the Bush executive order added to all of the protected categories the right to discriminate on the basis of religion only, not against any of those targeted classes,
mm-hmm.
That very likely would stay in place. The administration has a choice to do, as we have asked, to eliminate it and not allow any discrimination with government money, or the administration could listen to a number of prominent religious leaders who have written asking for a broader exemption, an INDA-type exemption that would allow for discrimination against the LGBT community per se by religious groups. That would be unprecedented in terms of federal contracting. But all of that is in play, and it remains to see what the administration will do.
So Welton has talked on this show about the listening sessions that the White House has held with leading religious organizations in preparing this non-discrimination order. So how clearly do you think the administration has heard that message, that in today's climate, religious exemption language could end up being an invitation to discriminate? Are they hearing you, do you think?
Look, the hardest issues in public life, Kevin, are when two valid moral principles are in tension with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case here with all of these debates, Hobby Lobby, and the executive order, the religious freedom and religious liberty of people able to follow their conscience in functioning as citizens. And against that, the obligation to prevent people from being discriminated against by characteristics that are core to their conscience or core to their identity here. So we don't, in general, we don't allow religious claims per se with government money against people because they're women, mm-hmm. because they're men, because they're disabled. And now we hope LGBT will be added to that list. As I said, the Bush exemption does allow for discrimination in a federal contract for a Catholic agency to hire Catholics with government money, a Jewish agency to hire Jews, a Muslim agency to hire Muslims. Whether it goes beyond that to what is called religious tenets, that is, they can discriminate against people who do not follow the religious beliefs of the faith, that would actually allow for discrimination for, let's say, against a unmarried woman who becomes pregnant and had sexual relations, therefore, without being married, for a religion that thought that was immoral and someone wouldn't be in good standing, or against the LGBT community if they thought that it would not be allowed. No one knows what the outer parameters of the existing exemption are. But what some are calling for is an outright exemption, an end-of-type exemption, and a difference between the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that it has been moving through Congress with a fairly broad exemption that did allow for discrimination against the LGBT community from religious institutions. And this is private money is at stake in the ENDA. exemption. This is government money.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't discriminate with government money. I would hope, you know, we'll look back in history at the idea of discriminating with government money against protected categories as one of those mystifying artifacts of the past and not too distant future.
Now, and just to be clear, since we're talking about the ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and there have been groups that have pulled their support for that, where is your office on the bill as it currently sits?
No one's pulled their support for ENDA. In other words, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act says there are 29 states in this country still can fire – an employer can fire someone simply because that person is gay or a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And people feel we now understand enough about the natural characteristics of the LGBT community that people ought not to be discriminated on the basis of sexual identity or gender identity, sexual orientation or gender identity. And we want to bar that, like we do a discrimination against blacks, against religious groups, against any other category mm-hmm. of protected classes. The question is how broad a religious exemption that will allow religious groups who believe a homosexual activity is wrong or that not to hire mm-hmm. People in this category. And here there's a fairly broad exemption. And the reason it was a broad exemption, broader than exists in Title VII, the Civil Rights Act itself, that allows for discrimination on basis of religion but of religious identity, the reason this was broader is many advocates of the LGBT rights community believed it was the only way to get it passed.
Mm-hmm.
That would take the Catholic Church out from under, it would take certain of the evangelical groups. It was a bitter pill to swallow in order to have millions of people covered. Now, with enough momentum in making gains in civil rights for the LGBT community, some of the very people who had supported a broad exemption now want to do away with the broad exemption and just leave the Title VII exemption in place that says you can't discriminate on the basis of religious identity.
Right, right. So you're an attorney and a longtime activist here in D.C. What are your greater concerns about where this current appetite for exemptions could ultimately take us, whether they're based on religion or anything else?
Well, the real problem is the Hobby Lobby case. By giving religious exemptions to a broad category of employers, mm-hmm. millions of employers in this country, and allowing them to make religious claims to discriminate on the basis of religion, this is deeply, deeply troubling. I mean, you can see that it's not only I have a religious objection to contraception. It could be to transfusions, to any kind of medical care,
right.
Christian scientists. It could be a religious exemption to working with women. It could be a religious exemption to working with Jews, a religious exemption to working with Catholics. There's no end to the claims that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is whether or not the general rule that protects core constitutional rights that was undercut by the Supreme Court's decision, Oregon v. Smith, on religious freedom and restored by the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, whether that will protect protected categories against discrimination in the face of religious objections of employers or not. That's really the biggest problem today. RFRA is in the main worked to balance religious liberty against other the rights of third parties. But where it comes to corporations, it really is a deeply, deeply alarming Pandora's box that's been opened here.
Right. So this is really, I think, in many ways, just the beginning of this fight.
We're gonna have litigation across the board. The phrasing of the case, the Hobby Lobby case, and the decisions in that is so ambiguous in terms of what the extent of the claims are. Is it only closely held corporations, or was that just named because it was a kind of corporation that was here? Is it only healthcare claims? Is it any kind of claim right. that can be made? We're going to have thousands and thousands of cases coming up through the courts of people making religious claims. And, you know, we have been spared in this country the divisions along sectarian lines that have torn apart so many other countries, including many democracies across the globe, because of the separation of church and state that doesn't have the government choosing amongst religions, and because of the robust religious liberty claims here that have been characterized as applying to religious groups and to nonprofit organizations where people join around a particular cause.
Right.
But usually the court is held more like in U.S. v. Lee, where you enter commerce, you have to give up certain rights that you would have otherwise to be part of the commercial landscape of America. This now abandons that idea and opens it up to these kinds of religious divisions that threaten to exacerbate the culture wars and tear America apart.
So last question for you. There's a lot of pressure on the other side, urging the administration to maximize these religious exemptions in any non-discrimination order, to make the exemptions broader rather than smaller. Do you have any prediction as to who might eventually prevail? you're a smart guy. You know that, right?
It's really hard to know. I think the administration understands deeply the nature of religious freedom claims. The president is a deeply religiously knowledgeable person. He understands the religious community. He has enormous support across a broad range in the religious community. But he's deeply committed to civil rights, mm-hmm. and he's deeply committed to including the LGBT community within the categories of protected classes that can't be discriminated against without a compelling interest by the government to do it. If I had a guess, I think that they'll probably leave the Bush exemption intact. They will not add or diminish anything and simply add the LGBT community, recognizing that that protection will make it possible, again, for hundreds of thousands or millions of people who work for government contractors or to be free of discrimination simply on the basis of who they are. So I expect there will be an executive order. It would be hard-pressed to see that they would change it one way or the other. But in balancing these out, who knows? And as long as this is the last question, let me just simply say what an honor it is, Kevin. I've done this with Welton Gaddy many times, but you have been extraordinary in your leadership of the Religious News Service. That is a key tool for information and understanding by religious people and others all across America. And I thank you for your good work.
Well, thank you. This has been fun. Yeah, we've been talking with Rabbi David Saperstein. He's the director of the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism. This week, the RAC joined almost 60 other religious and human rights groups in signing on to a letter to the Obama administration urging restraint in any religious exemption language in the coming executive order mandating protections for LGBT workers who are employed by federal contractors. David, thank you so much for making time to be with us once again on State of Belief Radio.
Take care.